I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the College for Stupid Ladies. Oh, sorry, wrong podcast. It's the School for Dumb Women. The College for Stupid Ladies is what we're called in Germany. But we do the same thing. I'm your host maiden, Steindrinker Hannah von Waulstein. With me is synthetic Aryan Ubertat, Alexandra Haddenberg.
I may have blonde hair and blue eyes, Hannah, but my heart is still black.
And regional South London Curryverse Eating Champion 2015, Caroline O'Donoghue National Guilt Complex.
Thank you, Hannah. It's curry rice is a meal you can essentially make in prison from ketchup and powder.
This week, we're talking inflation, pizza, finding out why machines will soon be able to do the job of our dads and tell when we're lying, and writer Monica Heisey drops by the school to give us a smart lesson on how to break up online.
Hannah, you're covered in ham, which I just want to pick off you as soon as I see you. May I?
Ooh, please. Mm. Please pick my ham off. I feel like this is quite a big one for the school, maybe. This is my big announcement. Mm. Pizza is the subject that I'm doing this week. And I think pizza is fine.
Okay.
I think pizza is okay.
I like it a lot. Why
pizza,
don't you like it?
Yeah. What do you eat after a night out?
Like maybe chips, cheesy chips.
Right.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. How do you? Where do you place yourself on the pizza scale, Alex?
I do really like pizza. I'll be honest. I like thin crust, and I like something with no pineapple on it because that is for psychopaths.
Oh no! Disagree. Love pineapple pizza.
I do love a pineapple pizza.
Love tropical. We shared a pineapple pizza once, and you seem very happy.
Yes, with turkey on it. We'd had 3 pints.
Yeah.
Turkey? On a pizza?
Turkey,
that is such a 3-pint choice.
I know. It was a halal, so yeah.
Oh, I see. Sure. I think pizza's great, and I think you can't beat a margherita pizza in Italy. That's like, or a Napolitana.
Controversial opinion. Woman enjoys pizza in Italy.
I know. What the hell?
Get out! Get out of here.
She thinks she is.
No, I love pizza primarily because it's a food that'll meet you where you are. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a pizza for when you're having quite a fancy night out and you have like a lovely wine in a glass tumbler and it's a sourdough crust.
Ooh,
and there's
lovely,
like,
yeah.
Ooh, lamb meatballs with, you know, artichokes.
Yeah.
And
there's like some synth playing low in the background.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that's very much the home slice Franco Manca sort of experience if you want to talk about sort of London pizza boutiques that are very high right now. But then there's the grade below that, which is that like bit hungover / had a bad week.
Yeah.
And getting a Domino's and just feeling very hugged by the world.
Yes.
And there's a grade below that, which is like coming home late from the podcast,
Papa
quite
John's.
Hungry. Yeah, and there's like the, like, you know, the oven pizza, just at like £2.
Yeah.
Just a cheese and tomato bread bit, really, is what it is.
Yeah. And then pizza. There's the kind of pizza by the slice that just sits under the hot, in the hot
under
counter.
A lamp, essentially.
I love that.
Yeah, under
for
a desk
hours
lamp.
And hours. No, I mean, pizza's versatile.
It meets you where you are.
I hate like a Chicago town deep crust.
Oh, mingin.
So fucking sponge
greasy.
Of a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, basically, I think pizza is fine. It's absolutely fine. There's nice pizzas and there's bad pizzas, but pizza in and of itself is just okay as a thing. And I think the reason that it annoys me that people kind of seem to love pizza so much is basically it's an internet thing, right? And it's a victim of its own, like, success on the internet. Like, there are loads of memes about pizza.
Are there? I call bullshit on this. I don't think it's an internet thing. Go on.
Have you seen Rihanna on the Met Gala with the yellow dress?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got
good.
Pepperoni on it. There's just, I feel like maybe I searched pizza once and that's why all the internet memes about pizza come to me. But it's kind of like, you know, bacon, Jeff Goldblum, doggos, like it's kind of in that realm of like an easy thing to reach for when you want like an easy kind of cultural trend.
I thought that the bacon was a big one for that as well. People on the internet love being like, oh, best smells of bacon or bacon in the morning
when you see bacon you smell bacon downstairs.
And then Cara Delevingne took it too far and got bacon tattooed on her foot.
Oh, did she?
She's annoying. Bacon. I'm annoyed by her.
She is annoying. Yeah.
I think that pizza obsession is a lot to do with how it's portrayed in American media.
Yeah,
like that thing of the pizza delivery boy I found very exciting, because I remember the first time when we got like pizza delivered to the house, I was like 12, I think, and being like, this is a film. Yeah. I'm in a film.
Who is the person that's going to turn up? I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's
and Pizza
exciting.
Hut kind of came about when we were sort of coming of age, did it? Or did I just start going at that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, we had Pizza Hut. But I think that's part of why people love pizza so much, is that it kind of divorced pizza as a food and pizza as a concept.
Pizza as an occasion is a big deal.
And pizza as an occasion, yeah. Exactly. When you're a child, especially, like, pizza is there for, like, birthdays and stuff like that. Or, like, you know, there's a big treat at school and, like, they get pizza in or something. Or, like...
Yeah, like, the office treat is often pizzas, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Because it's easy to make, it's easy to share... It's like quick.
I'm totally getting a pizza after this, by the way.
I know.
You're working. Yeah.
Is there any by the slice thing? Yeah, I want some lamb pizza.
We will find it.
But I just wonder if the concept of pizza as that kind of like, oh, it's a nice thing. Like, here we go, we're having a pizza. Everyone's having a nice time. Has kind of been divorced from like what the pizza actually is, because pizza's not that good.
Pizza is good. It's cheesy bread with other stuff on it.
Bread, good. Cheese, good. Meats and things, good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, there's something about pizza that just fills me with
absolute... You've done any research on this?
Indifference.
Yeah, my favorite pizza meme is just like a picture of a pizza and it's got a slice cut out of the middle. So it's got like a triangular slice but cut out of the middle of the pizza. And it just says, I do what I want.
I mean, if you want us to agree with you about pizza being bad, you're going to have to present some really big facts and big arguments.
I don't really have facts, but I did find someone who posted anonymously or wrote anonymously on Munchies, which is part of Vice, and said that they hate pizza. And they agreed with this whole like cultural trend thing, that it's kind of become like the lowest common denominator meme, they call it, which is brutal.
Very brutal.
And also, this is my scientific research into why I don't like pizza. Pizza is the perfect shape to get cold too quickly. Because of the surface area, it's so spread out and it's so thin and it hasn't got anything in there to kind of like, you know, like say risotto. Risotto stays hot for hours and hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You keep coming back to it and you keep burning yourself.
Yeah,
but you can't eat a risotto in bed whilst naked and sort of having sex, can you? But you can do that with pizza. You're not going to be coming from a night out and be like, oh, fucking hell, should we share a risotto? Yeah. I love risotto as much as the next man.
Oh, you're
sure.
Not going to, yeah. You can't really order risotto in the same way you can order pizza, can you?
Pizza is so malleable, and also I quite like cold food.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the whole thing. The whole thing about cold pizza is a bit of a meme as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I prefer cold pizza to hot pizza.
Yeah, that's a thing. You're of a tribe.
Don't worry.
Yeah. I have had cold pizza the next morning more than I care to admit.
Yeah, exactly. No one really wants to hear me talk about the history of pizza, I hope.
No, not really.
It's basically stuff on bread. It's not that hard to imagine that it has been happening for a long time. Pizza, apparently, or like kind of food similar to pizza, has been around since the Neolithic age, which was like somewhere between 12,000 years ago and like 6,000 years ago or something silly like that. And, you know, once you have that, then you add more flavours to it. That makes sense. Obviously, Italy.
You're so resentful of the subject.
I've got a good fact about pizza.
What?
My granddad used to pronounce it pizza.
Oh, my dad used to call it pizza.
Oh.
Pizza!
Jeff Farrell.
I don't really know why. I don't know where you got
it. Let's
that
just talk
from.
About our favourite pizzas from culture. Here are my favourite pizzas from culture. Number one, the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles pizza. Very stretchy pizza.
Mm.
Lovely stretchy cheese. Number two pizza, Home Alone pizza, when like all of they're all gone and he gets his own cheese pizza as the youngest child. It's a very important
scene. Like, that is pizza being deified, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being like, look, he got a pizza.
Pizza? Yeah, but like Kevin McAllister was like the youngest of like however many kids and like he finally got a pizza to himself. Like that was my dream growing up. Yeah. The youngest of four.
It's also the thing of America American sitcoms glamorized it as well. Like, you want to get pizza? Or the pizza boy's here, or the pizza girl.
Exactly. It has the same thing as dry cleaning, which I spoke about ages and ages and ages ago, which is like, it's such a big part of your imagined life, because you grow up watching these sitcoms and everything, and then you're like, oh, well, when I'm old, when I'm older, I'm going to do dry cleaning and I'm going to get pizza.
Right. I sort of thought of like pizza as being such a huge expense when I was a kid, because like, I don't know, like the idea that you'd spend like £35 to feed the whole family when we had like food at home was so crazy.
Yeah.
And like now I have to remind myself that like I could order pizza right now if I wanted, and it would be like £12.
Yeah.
And that's a negligible amount of money to me.
Yeah.
Look how far I've come.
If you live in the US, it's statistically likely you'll eat 6,000 slices of pizza over the course of your life.
Wow.
6,000. And overall, this is from Wikipedia, 13% of the US population aged 2 years and over consume pizza on any given day.
Wow.
13%. That's crazy,
pizza
isn't
every
it?
Day. Italian-American.
Italian. Yeah. So you guys might remember from a few weeks ago that I don't eat gluten anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's going really well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I blocked it out. Jesus, trauma.
But yeah, it's one of them. It's a real loss. Pizza from a diet.
Of course. Is there gluten-free pizza?
Well, sourdough pizza is generally fine because it's like, it tends to be like processed gluten that makes me sick. So like, yeah, like home slice and Franco Manca and those like
expensive
pizza.
I really like home slice. So home slice has like wacky pizza toppings, but like nice wacky, as in it'll have like oxtail or like
curated pizza toppings.
Pumpkin and something else nice and goat's cheese. And you're like,
Do you know what I really resented in pizza trends for a while is that like you'd order pizza with a man and like he'd be like, the job would be to get as much spicy meat on there as he possibly could.
Yeah.
He'd be always like, oh, shall we get Domino's? Oh, let's get Domino's. Oh, can you get me the meat blaster, please?
Yeah.
Get me the like the colon destroyer. Why?
It's like a side of masculinity, isn't it? You'll never...
Totally.
Like, if I was on a date with a guy and he was like, I have the vegetarian pizza, I'd be like, maybe we should get married. Because you're just like...
You're so comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, you're so comfortable with it. Yeah.
Can you guess what the UK's favourite pizza topping is?
Pepperoni?
I bet it's ham and pineapple.
It's mushroom. It's like a, you know, it's a one thing kind of thing. It's mushroom.
Fungi.
My favourite is ham and mushroom.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good one.
Guess how many people in the UK eat pizza at least once a week?
As in percentage or 20?
35%?
49.
What?
Almost half of people.
Yeah. Isn't that mad?
Weird.
Isn't that mad?
That's
Jamie Oliver's going to go through the roof.
I know.
He's going to tax the pizza.
All the sugar in that dough. Oh. My final thought on pizza was that I might try next time a pizza is in front of me. And I deign to eat it, I might try eating it like you're meant to eat digestive biscuits. Because you know digestive biscuits, they've got chocolate on one side.
Yeah.
And the theory is you're meant to put them in your mouth, chocolate side down. So the chocolate goes onto your tongue and melts onto your tongue a bit. And then you get the flavour of the biscuit rather than just the digestive, which doesn't taste as much. And all the chocolate goes on top of your mouth.
So you're going to put your pizza in upside down?
I'm going to try it.
And then all your stuff will fall off.
Well,
we have to Instagram this.
That's going to be a problem. But... I kind of feel like maybe if I get the flavour rather than just the bread, maybe that will help me to appreciate pizza more.
I don't think you're wrong about pizza. I just think that you don't appreciate how much it gives us socially. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but that's
you're being
what
too
I,
much on a thought here.
No, but that's what I mean. Like I get the cultural value of a pizza. I get that. I respect that. I'm not trying to diss pizza as a cultural phenomenon. I'm just trying to say pizza doesn't actually taste as good as all the attention that it gets.
And you know what? If you don't have something to dip the crust in, you're resentful.
Yes.
Yeah. Although I love getting a pizza with somebody and they leave their crusts and then I get to eat them.
I leave crusts. You can eat them.
I've eaten your crust before. I've actually, every time you and I have ever gone out for food together, I have eaten the end of your meal.
Yeah. True story. Ladies, it's that time of the week again. You've booked a babysitter, then remembered you don't have any kids, so you've just pointlessly paid a teenager £40 before you left the house and headed out to everyone's favourite panel event. It's the Women Who Code Mixer!
Yay!
Each week at this prestigious social event, we decode... some aspect of new technology so that you can not use it in your everyday life, because all you really need is Instagram. This week, we're talking about how you've been cheating on your boyfriends, you two.
I don't think I have.
I have, with his dad. How did you know?
I was actually lying. Today's mixer is about lie detector technology.
I was lying also as a trick for you, I think. Let's brush over it.
Yes, let's never speak of it again. Anyway, this week's Women Who Code mixer is about lie detectors or polygraphs, because there was something in the news today that means, obviously, lie detector technology has advanced.
Ooh.
And now it's obviously AI and scary.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So basically, your average polygraph tests sort of...
It more measures your reaction to the question than
exactly.
does your actual what you're saying with your mouth.
It has like sensors on your skin and like your heartbeat, your perspiration, all that sort of stuff. Your physical response to telling a lie, like where you're looking, all that sort of shit. But the new technology... headline was, "New technology knows when you're lying."
Good.
And it's being used in banks and police stations to figure out who's trustworthy and who isn't, which, you know, I can't see that proving any problems at all.
Nope.
And apparently the way we write changes depending on if we're lying or not. So,
AI handwriting
can detect whether, I'm not sure if it's handwriting or if it's what you're writing.
Like
I
turn
assume...
a phrase. Oh, that's so true. Because every time I like get an invite for a thing I don't want to go to, as in like from a PR or something, I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm actually busy that night. Whereas if it was the thing I actually wanted to go to, I'd be like, fuck, that's annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you over-egg it, though, and you're like, ah, I am the worst. I am the worst ever. Hate me. And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it can analyse your writing as well. Banks in China are using cameras to see if people are lying when they, like, apply to borrow money.
Wow.
Stuff like that, are lying about their financial state. Police in Spain have started using it to, analyse testimonies of robberies and stuff like that. And see if they're truthful or not. And also, the way you move your face when you're speaking, it will be able to analyse if you're lying or not.
Do you guys class yourselves as being good liars? Where do you stand on the
I'm a terrible
thing?
Liar. I'm a very truthful person. It's actually really difficult to be me because I am a compulsive truth teller.
You are, actually. That's very true about you.
I'm not a big liar in terms of big lies, but I am a very...
Big little lies.
Yeah, I'm a very good white liar.
Are you? Yeah. I find them quite hard.
You definitely do.
Yeah. And I can also lie very quickly to get myself out of a situation if I've done something wrong.
Ooh.
How are you with lies?
In the moment, I think I'm actually okay, but I do get very guilty for a long... Even if it's like something really silly, I feel very, very bad for a long time, and I often have to tell the person then.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm very bad at real lies, really bad.
Yeah.
I say things like, genuinely, and I open my eyes really wide, and everyone that knows me is like, you're lying.
And there's a thing when you sort of like, you give too much detail to the lie.
Yeah.
It's like often when someone, like a friend sends you like an email they have to send to someone, that's definitely a lie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, just delete everything after sorry I can't do it.
Yeah.
And you're fine.
Yeah.
You're just blowing up right now. Like, there's something about you. You're just getting sky high.
I know. I'm physically huge. I'm a blimp of a woman and floating above us. What am I?
You're...
Inflation.
Ah, I was going to say expensive.
Very expensive indeed. Inflation. What do we know about it?
That it seems to move as if independent from everything else.
Very weird, isn't it? You know, the budget came out recently and you read about terms like inflation and you begin to realise how little you understand the economy.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they talk about it as if inflation has a mind of its own. So they're like, inflation's up by 0.5%. Like, have a go at the government for it. It's like, how does this happen?
Very, very strange. So, and it's like, it's all that stuff as well. It's like, why did a Freddo used to cost 10p?
Yeah.
Why does it now cost 30p?
And then, like, he won £7,000 in 1993, £24,000 in today's money.
Yeah. So weird. So I tried to get a handle on it today, and I actually spent a lot of time on the School of Life, which are very good at doing those little videos.
Oh.
Yeah, of just telling you what things are.
Maybe you should stop listening to this podcast and start listening to the School of
Life. Yeah.
If you want to learn stuff, like a nerd.
Nerd.
Loser.
So, do you know that a cinema ticket costs 30p 30p in 70.
Oh, that's 1970. Sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. I want it to cost 30p still.
If I could go back to 1970s prices, that would really help me out right now.
You are very poor at the moment. You're right. You need a loan. Do you need a short-term Wonga loan from your friend Caro?
No, it's fine. I'm going to be fine.
So, yeah, people are able to, like, forecast inflation, like, down to the smallest point percentage, which is cool, but I don't really understand it or what are the factors that drive that.
Clever maths.
Okay, so there are essentially three things that go into the breakdown of inflation. This is not a joke-heavy segment, my guys, but at the end of it, you're going to, like, understand the economy in a little way, I suppose. Look, the first kind is cost-push inflation, which basically means the thing that is being sold has gotten more expensive to make, and therefore the price has to be passed on to the customer.
Oh, like petrol or something.
Like petrol, yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because it gets rarer.
Exactly. So it's like a finite resource or something like that. And that has factored in a lot in recent years, which is why inflation has gone up so much since, say, like the 70s, the 30s, Victorian times, whatever. Because, like, you know, things get more expensive to make because, you know, labor gets more expensive because people have rights. Or the countries that we got that raw material from now, you know, have a government that isn't being exploited as much by us. And all, like, basically, when cost push inflation goes up, it's generally like a good thing on a moral level, because it means that more people are getting, theoretically speaking, more people are getting, you know, paid along the chain. So the customer gets charged more because otherwise the business would go out of business. And, like, that's a big thing for a company to do, but it has to happen.
Yeah, this seems okay so far.
And then after that, we've got demand inflation. And we kind of have a good idea of what that is, right?
What, more people want to buy a thing, so they put the price up.
Yeah, so more people want to buy a thing, but there are still a finite amount of what that thing is.
Okay.
So the London housing market, really good example of that. So there are roughly the same amount of houses, give or take a couple of percent, as there were 20 years ago in London. But there are more people now who want to live in them, and those original houses, those people are still living in them, and the, because, like, the amount of people who want it has gone up hugely, but the amount that is available is still the same, then the price gets driven higher and higher and higher. And so as well, when there's, like, more disposable income in a community, that means that you've got more people who are able to look at bigger things, like buying a car or getting a loan out or getting a mortgage. So it becomes more and more competitive, right? That makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, all of these things seem pretty obvious, but when you kind of take them all apart and be like, oh, this is how the world works. It's like, oh, okay. And then there's the other thing, which is like, okay, if, like, stimulating the economy is good and people having more money is good, why can't we just print money?
Yeah. And if inflation is, like, happening to products, it should also, in theory, be happening to salaries.
Yeah, exactly.
And then why bother in the first place? If everyone's just, if, like, everyone has just got, like, 0.5% more money.
Yeah.
Why bother doing that?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So yeah, because it's like, so in 50 years, it's like, if I have a kid and they're on, like, 90 grand, that's going to be, like, just getting by. Like, when does it end?
It doesn't. So, but, like, if inflation was moving at a healthy rate, there's nothing wrong with, so inflation goes up and because our wages go up and because everything along the chain is going up at the same rate. And therefore, if we're all, like, on 350 grand is a basic salary in 20 years.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that as long as everything
is relative.
Is relative to the cost, right? If everything goes up at the same rate, who cares? It's just, like, random numbers, right? But the thing is that we can't depend on these things going up at the same rate, because everything goes wrong, a resource gets scarce, or a country gets weird, or, and all of these things are, like, part of this global thing that is almost impossible to get your head around. Like, for example, like, you could say that World War II happened because of inflation. So, like, Germany, after the First World War, they were, like, made to incur all these debts.
Yeah.
No, not debts, but they were essentially, like, punished.
Reparations. I remember my GCSE history.
Right.
Thank you.
So then the government was, like, stuck in, like, the, like, borrowing loads and loads of money and giving loads away. And so there was no money for, like, social things or anything. And the worth of the Deutschmark went way, 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 way down. Inflation went way, way, way up.
Like, they printed loads of money, didn't they? And then they have people, like, you know, those famous photos of people with wheelbarrows of money.
Wheelbarrows of money going to buy a loaf of bread, right?
With their life savings.
Yeah, because sometimes people sort of like print money to temporarily stimulate the economy so there's more going on around for the little people. But that is so short-lived because the country doesn't get wealthier just because you print more money.
Yeah.
Because there's still the same amount of resources and labour and people and things that want things. So you can't like invent a profitable country, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But we must be printing money at a steady rate because we're all on 30 grand now, whereas 20 years ago we were on 20 grand. And there's more people as well.
Yeah. I'm confused already. I don't completely understand it.
And that's the theme of this podcast.
And that's the theme of this podcast. So it's like, say if, you know, this studio is a country.
Yeah.
And I have £100 and Hannah has £200. And Alex, for some reason, has the most money at £300.
Dream.
Then the gross wealth of our country is £600. And if our resources are like these glasses of water in front of us.
Yeah.
Like, if one of them gets broken, then the worth of that resource goes way up.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, like, you become the most powerful person in the room.
Yeah.
And then, like, if we start printing more money...
Well, no, who does that money go to in this scenario?
I don't know. I still don't get inflation totally.
Yeah, maybe we should get someone who knows finance to come and do this.
But the thing is, we've tried that, but people who know finance and are still allowed to have around are hard to find. So if you guys know a comedian who does financial comedy, please let us know.
Oh, dream.
I feel like I've taken us some of the way there, but yes. I'm going to just down tools and be like, it's late, I haven't eaten and I don't know.
Fuck inflation, man.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave you with...
Chat shit, get banged.
As long as every... Chat shit... Get banged.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah. As long as everything goes up at the same rate, it's fine. But once one of the things, either supply, demand, or wages or whatever, is out of whack, then everything gets fucked up. And that's why people panic.
That's why we're fucked, because inflation's really screeching to a halt and wages aren't going up. But everything that you buy is becoming more expensive.
Inflation is going up. But wages are screeching to a halt.
Oh, yes, that.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
Yes.
And some people say that we should, like, not tax people as much, not have as much income tax, so that people will have more disposable income and that will stimulate the economy.
Oh.
But that is also short-lived.
But then how do we...
According to Alain de Botton.
Pay for stuff.
Can we stop now? I'm tired.
Yes, please. Please.
Go and buy yourself...
And that was inflation!
Go and buy yourself a Freddo.
You can't anymore.
You're too poor.
£600,000 since this podcast started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So each week on School for Dumb Women, we do a smart lesson, which helps us get closer to our feminist nirvana of being clever, clever ladies who can live life good. And this week, we have comedy writer and author of the book, I Can't Believe It's Not Better, Monica Heisey is here in the studio. And this week, Monica, you're going to teach us about breaking up online and like measuring the sort of social media thing that happens when you break up with someone.
Well, the aspect of breaking up that I wanted to get into, because there's obviously as many ways to break up as there are to get into a relationship in the first place, and the actual disintegration of the relationship is going to be very unique to the relationship that you had. But then at some point, a couple weeks on from the breakup, everyone, all these different like tributaries end up in the one river, which is embarrassing yourself on Instagram about the breakup. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk
about... We're vibing very hard.
So I wanted to talk about how to avoid doing that.
Go.
Well, I guess the first thing is to know that you're gonna have to find something that you're doing that's a bit embarrassing, but if you can keep it to yourself in a way, that's the best. So, like, I got really into, you can pick the thing. Usually the options are, like, you can get really into, like, self-care.
Right.
You can get really into going to the gym.
Right. Which, does that fall under the self-care umbrella?
I think it's a little separate, because self-care to me is, like, that performative, like, picture of your legs, like a boomerang of your legs swooshing around in the bath.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That
or is like, not or the like, route I take.
Sheet masks.
A sheet mask selfie, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Just an expensive candle.
Just
that being around. That's self-care. Going to the gym, you can take like a class, or you can immediately get into a new relationship and Instagram about that too much. Those are sort of your
I would never do that
option.
Mostly because I can't have them.
They apply to three very different kinds of people, I think. There is the, because the self-care person is very much like, well, I'm looking after me now. And I feel like that's kind of like, you're really out of options. That's, you know.
I'd like to say option four, which is, look how much I'm going out and having fun.
Oh, huge. That's a huge option. I mean, obviously also the major option is like a drastic haircut. I had a big breakup in last October, like about a year to this time. And, I had a few friends who made it their duty that I could text them at any time of day and be like, I am going to book an appointment to bleach my hair. And they would just text me back like, no, I will come over. Where are you? This is an emergency. You cannot do that.
I think changing your hair is good.
But you change your hair all the time, Alex. No one would look at you changing your hair and be like, life crisis.
That's the thing.
That's true. Yeah, I do it all the time. But I do it sometimes after a relationship. It makes me feel nice.
That's the impulse, I think. But then I'm too lazy to upkeep a dyed hairdo. Like, I've never dyed my hair. And then when I found out how much it costs and how often you have to do it.
Oh, I see. So it'd be very out of character for you.
I would just not take care of it. And then I would just have, like, a freak mop on my head. And then I'd be like, oh, she's not okay.
You also have very excellent hair, can I just
say? Yeah. So, yes. So, I mean, you're going to have to pick something to channel your energy into. And something you're also going to have to accept is that you're gonna be doing more Instagram stories. This is just something that happens. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as the door closes and they've taken their last box of stuff, like, the phone just flies into your hand, and all of a sudden you're just doing like a little kind of like two glass of wine update on the movie that you're watching.
Oh, as in you're actually, because there's two types of Instagram stories, right? There's the kind of like picture of a thing or video of a thing, and then there's video of me. Hi guys, I just wanted to update
like the
you.
Busy Phillips.
Oh, I just had exactly. I just went to the gym and I've just had some wine.
Yep.
Is it? Yeah. Are we talking about the second type here?
Yeah. Like, I've been deliberately trying to rein that urge in, and like, I'm not always winning that battle.
I have never done one where I'm talking to the camera.
It's
I just
devastating.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I feel like I can tell when someone's going through a breakup before they've made it clear on social media. Like, you can just see. And there's something nice about, like, when I got divorced, I was like the youngest person I knew that was divorced. I was like 28 and left my partner. And I felt like, oh, I'm the only one who's ever done this. But now I know the signs.
Ooh,
and I can see them. Like, people start Instagram storying from the gym and you're like, how's it going at home?
Oh, yeah. That's called turning the other hob on.
Yeah.
Slowly turning that hob, heating up the back pan, being like, I might have to transfer my spaghetti onto that.
Yeah. And then also the other thing that no one tells you about, like, a slightly thirsty Instagram story is that everyone you want to respond to it does respond. It's like it's like a shell, like it's like a conch shell call to all of the men who you're friends with, who were sort of around while you were in a relationship, who are a little curious about if everything's okay.
Yeah, there was a mild vibe. There was a sub vibe.
Yeah, if there was a vibe, then they're going to be like, haha. On like a Friday night in response to your wine Instagram
God,
story.
I feel like you're inside my brain
it's
right
now. It's bad, isn't it?
Like, I'm not the worst offender by far. Like, I never post, like, thirst traps and stuff. Mm. But, like...
Oh, give over, Alex Haddo! What a filthy fucking lie. Your Instagram is all thirst traps. It's all your legs looking so fucking long, stretched out, like, under a tunnel with you wearing, like, nothing but a black vest.
I feel like I've seen some pretty bad stories and I've just cut my friends the slack of like, oh, they're obviously going through a breakup and like, good for them. They're really hitting the gym or they're like taking a lot of baths or whatever the thing is. But like, all I'm ever trying to do is stave off like posting a picture of a sunset with a caption about like growth.
Oh, that would never happen.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm so glad you've not done that. I watch your stories and I'm so glad I've not seen that yet.
It's so not me as a person, but like, there is something about you that like, you'll read like a passage in a book and you'll be like, I guess healing is a process. And I guess no one's ever finished it.
You know, just because we loved then and I'm not in love now doesn't mean that love didn't exist.
Right. In a way, that love now is part of all the love in the world. Yeah. Should I?
Because we're just, everything's molecules. That. The world is just vibrations exchanging. That love is a vibration in space now.
Yeah.
I am in space.
Yeah. Like a major breakup is like a major change. What did they say? The most stressful things in your life are losing a loved one, getting a divorce and moving house, I think is the order.
Yeah.
So like, that's pretty intense.
It's a biggie.
And the thing is, those come through together. You lose the loved one, you divorce them, and then you move out.
That's true.
Like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
No wonder you're posting a bit of a thirst trap on Instagram.
Yeah, someone I know recently posted a picture on Instagram that she had gotten a tattoo on her, like, lower arm that says breathe, and it might as well just say divorce. Like, it's fine, it's okay, everyone's processing, but I am trying to avoid sharing too much of that stuff on social media. I like to reserve it for podcast appearances.
We're very glad because it's a lot of very free content for us.
Speaking of breakup tips, my main tip would be, don't go to Iceland immediately after your breakup during the portion of the year where the sun does not go down, because I did that by accident and I had like, I guess, a manic episode on a little horse.
A manic episode on a little horse.
I was like riding. I shouldn't say manic episode. I don't experience those. But I felt mad on this horse whose name can't have been Drool, but that's what it sounded like when they said it.
Drool.
It had like big, crazy, unbrushed red hair.
Okay.
And was like a bit like thick. And so I felt an immediate kinship with Drool. And then I was just riding around on this horse, but the way their horses run, it's not like with English riding where you trot and you control or canter, you like have a way to control how you're bouncing around. Mm-hmm. They're just like, drive your heels down and let the horse do it. And you're just like, ugh, on top of it. But it had a real like Game of Thrones effect. Like, I think it just jiggled my brain loose a bit because I was like jiggling around on this horse for a few hours, and towards the end of it, I was like, I am so free.
Maybe I'll get a tattoo that says free.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to get a tattoo that says breathe. I'm going to like read a minimalist poem and then, you know, put that on my Instagram.
Get really into Rupi Kaur.
Yeah. Candace Pride. She's Canadian.
Is she?
She is.
Well, then you get into her all you want then.
Yeah, my sister. Oh, don't worry. My sister gave me the book for Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have one of them.
And then you have that moment where you're like, I'm going to do something poignant and not put it on Instagram.
I know, you're like, no, this is for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women are dumb.
I know. It's wild, isn't it? I hate us.
I think it's probably better to do that stuff now than like harden and become bitter to the world.
Yeah.
And be unable to talk about your feelings the way that I think some men can.
Right. And then it just comes out in heart disease when they're like 55.
Heart disease, I know.
Yeah.
That's true.
Although women are making gains in that area.
Yeah, we're closing the gap, lads.
Hey.
Heart disease equality. So what's the stage after the Instagram story stage? What comes next?
I think you start to see someone new and then you don't do anything on Instagram for a while. Like, you know when you're just seeing someone and it feels almost fake that you're like pretending they they don't exist on Instagram. Like, I was seeing someone in Toronto, and I'm, like, quite an... I, like, do Instagram. I do stories.
You do.
Send me regularly.
You're looking at me for confirmation.
Help, Caroline. And then, like, when I started seeing this person, I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm just going to be, like, tactful. Like, Toronto's a small place. No one needs to know who I'm dating. It's my private life. Like, when I was single, I was like, everyone should be aware. But then I started dating someone, and I was like, this is for me. This is none of anyone's business.
Like, every time you leave the house, like, having a ponytail looped through a baseball cap. Just being like, you know what? This is just our time.
But then there's the inevitable post that isn't of them, but they're tagged in it.
Oh, or like the side of their hand or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a man's hand. And then all your friends comment with the googly eyes underneath.
Yeah.
Because they know.
Because they love you.
Yeah.
And they care.
I guess that's what it is. Yeah, you just start doing, I think the next step is sneakily Instagramming a man.
What I've noticed a few people doing recently, particularly men, is that they're soft launching their girlfriends on stories. And then they go in for the hard launch about 3 months.
Yeah, that happened to me actually with this guy I was seeing.
It's like the sneak preview.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
And they just say 24-hour glimpse.
And it's stuff like, oh, going to Taco Bell with this one. Like,
this one.
I actually don't Instagram pictures of anyone I'm dating until I'm sort of...
Because you're entitled to your private life.
Engaged, which I've never been.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't do any of that. And then next stage, slut spiral.
Slut spiral.
Enjoy it.
Tell me more.
That's the phase I'm embarking on right now.
Okay.
Got my shoes. I'm ready.
Oh.
You're in spiral.
I'm having a nice time.
Okay. Yeah. How do you initiate a slut spiral?
You don't initiate it. It's put upon you by, you know, like when you wake up in the morning and you've got to do stuff and you're in bed and you're like, oh, God, I've got to do all this and then leave the house at 8 o'clock. And then you start cutting things out of your morning routine to justify staying in bed for longer. So you're like, I don't really need to wash my hair. And if I'm honest, I could eat on the way to work. And also, blah, blah, blah. So the slut spiral is like when you're in a normal frame of mind, you're like, God, I would never fuck that guy. And then when you're in the slut spiral, you're like, I could fuck that guy. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
and also, fine. I don't need to have a clean pussy.
Yeah. That's why we have baby wipes now.
And then after the slut spiral, I guess what happens? Now we're just sort of going through the phases.
Just in life?
So like you do like Instagram stories and maybe...
Wait,
you do,
I feel like we skipped a crucial point, which is... do we block? Do we unfriend?
Oh,
do we mute?
Great point.
I never block or unfriend, but I think I probably would do if they'd done something really, really horrific and then wouldn't stop contacting me. But that's never really happened. It happened to me like 10 years ago when Instagram and stuff wasn't a thing, but it's not happened to me since.
I think it's nice to mute for a bit.
You definitely don't want the updates.
No, you don't want the updates. I mean, I guess it depends how long you've been with the person and the terms of the breakup as well, right?
Yeah.
I've been, not to brag, blocked on every... possible. Ooh, girl. Social media.
You done broke that man.
Well, I did too much exciting traveling. It would have been very annoying to see.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I went on that beautiful trip right after we broke up and
with
he was
the
like
horse. Huh?
Yeah. And he was like, I don't need to see this. And I was like, that's totally fair.
Pretend they're dead for a while and then back in the... And then the next stage is just leveling out and you're back to normal.
I do think you just pretend they're dead for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you level out and then it's kind of like, who?
Yeah, and then you're indifferent.
Yeah, it's nice. Indifference, that was my dad's big advice, was that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Hating someone means you still really care about them.
Yeah.
But if you just don't really think about them, then you're fine. You made out the hood.
Yeah, and that's
made
the
out
final...
the woods, let's say.
Yeah. Made out the hood. That's the final stage in the cycle, I think. Just cold indifference. So tell us a little bit about your projects.
I have a book out that you can buy called I Can't Believe It's Not Better. Season 3 of a television show called Baroness von Sketch Show is premiering in America on IFC.
Baroness von Sketch is one of my favorite things in the world. You can go on the Facebook and just watch all the videos. I'm sure there's more.
Yes, within the UK, the best way to access Baroness videos is still Facebook. There's a bunch of sketches from the show from all 3 seasons.
It's the smartest, funniest thing ever. I don't know why it doesn't play here, but it's just like... a group of women been really funny, and it's like really politically informed as well without being a drag, and you feel like very fed by it.
Oh, great. Right. So
it's
nice.
Like it's sketches, but it's not like throwaway the way like SNL feels like popcorn sometimes, you know?
Right. I mean, if SNL is listening and wants to hire me, that's also fine.
And you're just at Monica Heisey on Twitter?
At Monica Heisey on Twitter and on Instagram as well for all those sunset selfies.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, it's been real, Monica. Thank
Thanks
you so much for coming
me.
In.
Yeah,
thank you.
You have been a fantastic guest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. My love to
so
you
much.
And to Drill.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Monica, for coming in, and thank you for listening to this podcast, because it is indeed the end of this podcast now.
It's breaking up with you.
It is, but you can still stay in touch with us, and don't block us.
But do some pieces to camera on your Instagram story, because that'll make us feel better.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Monica for coming in. If you do want to follow us on social media, we are at Dumb Women Pod. And also, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us if you want, so that we can just keep following you around in your podcast app. Thank you, Harry Harris, for our jingles, Gavin Day for our artwork, and Soho Radio Studios for the recording space. We'll see you next week, hon.
Bye, hon.
Bye, babes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.